So good evening. So I guess by context, before I get started, I'll kind of give you a bit of a background as to how I landed in this passage, because the passage I selected to talk about is a bit different. It's found in Deuteronomy, and it's not a book I necessarily go through very often, but it's part of my reading. I've got a schedule that is supposed to take me through the Bible in a year. I started it 3 years ago, and this is where I'm at. So working my way through it, not at the pace that they want me to, but at a pace that is working for me. And at times what I like about the app is that I'm able to listen to the passage, and I usually choose a version that I'm a little less familiar with, so that it kind of forces me to pay attention to the wording. And so I was listening to Deuteronomy 21 and just kind of going through it. And I just kind of stopped because it kind of jarred me a bit as I was reading this. Deuteronomy 21:18. And I'll read it for you. And it reads as follows. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of them and bring them out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. And I guess I was a bit on, like I said, I was listening to this using the app, and perhaps my mind had started to wander, as sometimes can be prone to doing. And I kind of paused and I went, whoa, whoa. And I went back and read it a few times again. I went, man, that is a really harsh sounding consequence. That is a very harsh passage. It's very hard for us to stomach a passage like that. We read that and you go, man, that's really, really harsh. So that's kind of the background as to how I landed on this topic. I started to do a bit of study, and as I studied, I kind of pulled out a few nuggets, I guess, and those nuggets are what I wanted to share with you guys, because I was encouraged following studying this passage. And so that's the passage that I want to. So here we are. We're looking at, he is a glutton and a drunkard, the execution of the stubborn and rebellious son. So first of all, I want to look at the passage just to put some context into this. Now, I did turn to some commentaries initially to take a look and just to see, you know, if they could tell me a bit more context, you know, was this ever used? Do they know? Is there more passages in which we see that this was carried out? And most of the commentators would agree on the fact that this was likely more educational / pedagogical. So just teaching more so than ever having been carried out. Really, the last words of this passage read, so that all will hear and fear. Really, the intent was that when this would be carried out, that all would hear and fear. So this was a significant passage, or a significant occurrence if it was to be carried out. I'm not going to say that it was never carried out. However, the commentators that I was reading said that they could find no historic record of this being carried out. I like to think that it really is one of these cases in which you look at it and you'd say, yeah, what kind of parent would take their kid and haul them over to the elders of the city and say, you know what, we're done, let's stone this kid. You know, like I think that really as parents, you know, there's a desire to see our kids learn and grow and to continue to teach, to continue to rebuke, continue to educate and continue to lead them in the right paths. Furthermore, the agreement tends to be that it is not a child, but more of a young man, somebody that is morally responsible in this passage. And that there are safeguards. It is the father and the mother that needed to bring the child out. It was before the elders of the city, so there needed to be an agreement from the elders of the city in a public location. It wasn't something that was done in private. And the crime really was that of a prodigal, riotous living, one that brings ruin to their family. When you read the context, it starts talking about he is a drunken and a glutton and a drunkard. And the idea here that, you know, he's bringing, essentially he's going to spend the inheritance, destroy the family. You know, this is really a last step in a society in which the family was key. Yeah, so that's kind of the context there, just to put it into perspective from a historical perspective. However, I wanted to kind of take this passage and put ourselves in the place of Israel and with the following verses. So as a bigger picture, looking at Israel, I looked at a number of verses. For example, Deuteronomy 9:7, it talks about, you know, remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day you came out of the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. You know, and if Israel was paying attention to these verses, they would realize that the verse in Deuteronomy 21 is applied to them as well. They are rebellious against the Lord, stubborn and rebellious. Deuteronomy 9:24, you have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Deuteronomy 31:27 has both of those words. For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Behold, even today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? Isaiah 30, verse 9. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord. And that's in Isaiah. And again, referring to the people as rebellious, people that the Lord was trying to instruct, but they were unwilling to hear or to heed the instruction of the Lord. Isaiah 65:2, I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. Jeremiah 5:23, but this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. Again, stubborn and rebellious. They have turned aside and gone away. Hosea 4:16 reads, like a stubborn heifer, Israel is stubborn. Can the Lord now feed them like a lamb in a broad pasture? Again, the idea of stubbornness and rebellion. Ezekiel 14 times in the book of Ezekiel, it says, and say to the rebellious house, to the house of Israel. So Israel is described 14 times in Ezekiel as a rebellious house. Essentially, the point I'm trying to make here is that Israel was stubborn and rebellious. When we read back through Deuteronomy, we read that the consequence for this is that they would be stoned with death, stoned with stones to be put to death. They were to be executed. That is the consequence for a stubborn and rebellious heart. Then looked at the word about drunken and glutton and a drunkard. Those are the words that are described in verse 20. And they say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And obviously this would probably be a familiar passage for you guys. I put it up on screen here in Luke 7:3-34. You can read, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking. And you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And I just kind of find it striking that the nation of Israel would have seen the Son of Man, seen the Lord Jesus, and they call him specifically by the same words that are used in Deuteronomy 21. They call him a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. the description of a glutton and a drunkard is one that they should take and put to death. Yet this was the Lord Jesus, the perfect Son of God, that they were speaking about. So again, looking at the context, we read the following. We read that the rebellious son, being a glutton and a drunkard, should die, and the father and mother must agree. But we look at Jesus. Jesus is falsely named as a glutton and a drunkard. But the Father, our Father, God, agrees to pay the cost for those that are actually the rebellious ones, the ones that are actually the drunkens and the gluttons, those like us, those like the nation of Israel. And the last thing that really jumped out to me is Deuteronomy 21, just in terms of the context. At the start of the chapter, we read about there's a law of concerning an unsolved murder in which when they didn't know who was who had done it, the elders of the city take an animal and pay for it. And it's a picture there of atonement. And you see a picture of atonement being made for the sake of blood being shed for the sake of sin at the start of chapter 21. If we read on beyond the end of verse 21 of Deuteronomy, and we go into Deuteronomy 22, I find that the position of this passage very interesting, because we read the following in verses 22 and 23. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. And I just find that position and that verse it's just really interesting that it's placed right after that. We read about the rebellious son who is described as a drunken and a glutton, drunkard and a glutton, one that should die for his rebellion. We see the nation of Israel, who matches that exact pattern, stubborn and rebellious. We think of ourselves, and we see that pattern of stubborn and rebellious people. You know, we all like sheep have gone astray, we read. You know, we were all like that stubborn heifer that we just read about in Hosea. We're rebellious, we're stubborn. There was nothing good about us by which we should be redeemed. Yet Jesus comes along, and he most certainly is not a glutton or a drunkard. And yet the nation of Israel, mankind, names him as such and names him as deserving of a penalty for sin. And he is not just killed, and he is not killed with stones. He falls into the following passage, that if a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree. Obviously, he did not do anything deserving death. But yet they put him to death and they hung him on a tree. And Paul in Galatians 3:13 writes about how Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. And so Paul references this exact passage, from Deuteronomy as he writes this, that he became curse for us. And so really, when I look at the passage, and this passage that I originally, when I first looked at it, you know, I really went, wow, that is a very harsh passage. But I think it is rightfully harsh, and I think it is rightfully very that it was not applied a whole lot. And I think that it is also clearly true in that it was meant to be educational. We do read that the law was our schoolmaster to instruct us, to point us towards the greater truth in the Lord Jesus. And really, I see that here. We see a very difficult law, one that probably most would have hesitated and hemmed and hawed and not wanted to even approach this law. But yet we know that under that law, that is what we deserved. We can look at that and we can see ourselves and say, yeah, I deserve sin. The nation of Israel could look at that and God would remind them over and over again of their stubbornness and their rebellion. And that alone should have reminded them of the fact that they deserve death. But yet the Lord Jesus comes and he is the one that hangs on a tree. He is Christ who redeems us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Just some short thoughts. It went a little faster than I thought it would, to be quite honest. But just some short thoughts from that little passage and just an encouragement going back to Galatians that Christ took the curse of the law. The law points us back to Christ. And even in small things, even in small areas that we might originally look at and say, wow, that looks harsh. It is. And Christ paid that harsh penalty for us. He paid that cost to redeem us. Maybe before we go to a time of prayer, maybe I can just close our thought in a time of prayer. God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for just the fact that we can look into it and we can be reminded of your Son, our Lord Jesus. We can see passages that that when we look closer, when we look a little deeper, point us back to you. We know that there's nothing that is written in your word that is by accident. We know that the words that were chosen by the nation of Israel to describe the Lord Jesus that were recorded in the Bible, we know that those were not by accident. And we know that the Lord Jesus was made a curse for us, that we might be saved from that curse. And so we thank you. We thank you for just your word that points us back to you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.